This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Hope, we just figured out the key to average Sunday attendance. It is so wonderful to see this room full of all of you. And I want to address those of you in Bethel Hall. We are very happy you're here too. Those two worship spaces are the very heart of the beating heart of this place. And so we're happy to have you in the same room you're with. And those of you who are virtually, our congregation is broad and cast wide. And I want to ask you to do me one personal favor before I start my sermon. My mom was supposed to come, but she started feeling poorly, and so she did not. My sister is here, but mom couldn't come. So when 1, 3, let's say, hi, mom. All right? 1, 2, 3. Hi, mom. There. She's totally embarrassed now. And she can't do anything about it because she's in Virginia. This morning, we find ourselves standing on the banks of the Jordan River. John the Baptist, who had been inviting people to repent of their sins and be baptized, is standing in that river, urgent and wild. People are making their way into the water, submitting themselves to this strange cleansing rite, preparing their hearts for the coming of the kingdom of God. And as we look on, Jesus steps into the water and approaches John, clearly ready to be baptized. This is a strange bit of storytelling, isn't it? It's a strange way for the writer of the Gospel according to Matthew to introduce the Savior of the world. Sure, if you were in church on the fourth Sunday of Advent, you heard Matthew say the birth of Christ took place in this way. But what is described next is not actually the birth of Christ. It's Joseph's angelic dream announcing that Mary would conceive a child by the Holy Spirit and he would be named Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. There's no actual birth narrative. And then what follows is the story of the wise men and the Holy Family's flight into Egypt. And that's it. Jesus himself is not a character in this story at all until he steps into the warm waters of the Jordan River to respond to John's invitation to be baptized. The gospel lesson tells us that John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus answered, let it be so now, for it is proper for us to fulfill all righteousness. And Jesus was baptized. This narrative style leaves so much to our imagination, doesn't it? We know nothing of Jesus' life up to this point. We don't know who his friends were. We don't know how he was educated. We don't know who he took to prom. We don't know how many times he was grounded. We don't know his favorite band or his favorite poet or the weirdest dream he ever had. But we do know this. When Jesus stepped into that river, something significant was coming to an end. Whatever he was doing in his life up to this point seems to have run its course when he steps into those waters of baptism. And just as something significant was coming to an end, so something new begins. It begins while the waters of baptism are still running down his back. Matthew tells us that when Jesus came up out of the waters of baptism, he just came out of the water and suddenly the heavens were opened to him and he saw the Holy Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice that came from heaven said, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And Jesus' baptism is now the beginning of his new life. His new life of service to God and to the world. And throughout the rest of this liturgical year, we will hear Matthew's version of what that life looked like. We'll hear Jesus' teaching. witness his miracles, watch as he makes his way to Jerusalem, witness his arrest, trial, crucifixion, death, and burial, and celebrate his resurrection, witnessing another end and another beginning. And each year, on this feast that we are celebrating today, the feast of the baptism of our Lord, we invite people to metaphorically step into the waters of the River Jordan and to literally submit themselves to the waters of baptism in a font. And at every baptism, we witness an end and a beginning. When adults are baptized, we witness the end of an old way of life, an old value system, and a worldview, and then we watch as new things begin before the water of baptism even dries from their forehead. We watch as values, behavior, beliefs, and hearts change. And we begin to see the impact that one transformed life can have on the world. And when infants are baptized, we see the power of sin in their lives stripped away and the beginning of a life lived in the bright sun of God's grace, favor, and mercy. And also, at every liturgy of baptism, those who were baptized earlier in our lives, like us, most of us, are invited to remember the occasion of our own baptism. I invite you to do so now. We're asked to remember, what was the river like when we stepped into it? Remember the hands that poured that saving water on your head. To remember the promises that we made on that day. And each time we do so, something ends and something new begins. Each time we renew our baptismal covenant, we turn once again from the parts of our lives that are sinful or separate us from God or one another, and we ask God to put us on another course, more true to our redeemed selves and truer to the heart of the one who loves us. So today, you and I are invited to just such a remembrance, to an end and a beginning. And this will open our hearts to the incarnate Christ in the world about us. It will open us to Epiphany. But there is another river far from the Jordan that you and I know about. It is a river flowing faithfully in the heart of downtown Austin for 175 years. Longer than that. And I remember quite clearly when I first saw that beautiful flowing stream called St. David's Episcopal Church. It was actually on a very high floor of the Omni Hotel, right next door. This was a pretty brilliant move by the search committee, actually, to put us in that room up high, because it provides a breathtaking view of the entire river. And Chris and the kids and I all looked out that window together and saw it for the first time. And that's when Chris and I told the kids, "We think we're moving to Austin." And when I accepted the invitation to serve as rector, there was an ending and there was a beginning. It was the end of our life in Waco and of the people of St. Paul's. And that came with a lot of gratitude and joy, but also no small amount of grief. But with a deep clarity that God was calling us to something new. And it was the beginning of almost 10 years of life together and ministry in this remarkable river. And it would take far too long than we have to recount all the things that we have done together and all the things we have been through together. We have prayed, we have received the sacraments, we have worked, we have played. Oh, we play and we laugh, and we've been so joyful, and we've been sad, and we've been filled with grief. We've been filled with fear and uncertainty and hope and deep gratitude and the deep satisfaction of striving to serve God well together. So now I want you to do something for me. I want you to remember the first time you stepped into this river. The first time you saw this beautiful river flowing through the heart of downtown Austin. How long did it take you to dip your toes into the water? It's okay, Emma. It's all right, baby. I know he just is talking and talking. Love you. All right, what was I saying? Now I wanted to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to remember the first time you saw this beautiful river flowing through the heart of downtown Austin. How long did it take you to dip your toes in the water? And when did you decide to finally step in and take the plunge and allow this magnificent, quirky place to become your spiritual home? Who is standing in the river inviting you to come deeper? Who is standing there still? And now I want you to think about all the people who you know who have stepped out of this river and moved on to different rivers of life, love, and service. Think of all of our friends who have moved to different towns and states, even countries, and stepped into different waters. And finally, I want you to think about all those friends who have stepped out of this earthly river since you have been here and stepped into the celestial river of eternal life. You see, I wondered when that was going to happen. You see, this is the natural order of things. Yeah. It's the order of things in the kingdom of God. Some people come into this beautiful parish and they find a home and they stay forever. Some people were born into this place and they've lived their whole life here and they will be buried in that columbarium. Others are only here for a season. Think about how many people have stepped into and out of this magnificent stream over the past 175 years. Each person affects the character of this river. But the river continues to flow. Literally thousands of people, maybe tens of thousands of people, have called this river home over the decades. I know 14 priests have served as rector. And I don't even know how many other priests have found meaningful ministry here as assistants and associates. How many beginnings and endings is that? How many endings and beginnings? So today, the time has come for me to step out of this river. It's time for another ending. And another beginning. As I end my service as rector here, I know that it creates a lot of endings and beginnings for St. David's as well. You know, basically, you're used to me. And we figured out how to do a lot of stuff together, right? And now you got to get used to hope. And then just as soon as you get used to hope, you're going to have to get used to a new rector. And that's, well, a lot. I know, that's a lot. More beautifully, more than used to each other, we actually love each other. And when someone that we love steps out of the river, it's hard, and it makes us sad. And that's good, my friends. Because how tragic would it be if we weren't sad a little bit today? Sadness and grief are gifts because they speak to our love and commitment to one another. And so we'll tend to these feelings carefully. And as we tend to these feelings carefully, I want you to listen. Listen. Can you hear it? It's the sound of a river. It's the sound of a river running through downtown Austin. And it continues to flow. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's a beautiful river. And that is a beautiful sound. And you are all still in it. So stay in it. Feel its warmth, its cleansing properties, faithfully flowing into the heart of this city, this state, this country, this world that desperately needs the water flowing out of this river, because it's flowing into the very heart of God. And as I step out of this river, please know that I have loved every single minute that I've been in it, even the really hard ones. And please promise to pray for Chris and me as we step out of this river together, and as we prayerfully discern how we might be of use to God next. Because it's the first time we've ever stepped out of a river without an answer to that question. But don't worry. Don't worry about us, and don't worry about you. Because I know this. I know there are always rivers flowing from the heart of God and back into the heart of God. And we will find it. And if my faith is strong and Chris and I play our cards right, the next river will be cold. And it will be running fast. And it will have beautiful eddies swirling around stones. And there will be birds of prey overhead. And I will have a fine, fine fly rod in it. It's one that some of you gave me this week. And when that elegant rod bends, I will think of you. And I hope it bends often. I love you. I love you.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.